Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I am J Clone 43.
Meep boom, meep, meep, meep boom.
Meep mop, meep moop, meep moop, meep.
This is only, what, how many episodes are we recorded today? 9, this is episode 9.
Jeez, peel back the onion.
Yeah. No, I want them to know that, like, they listen through the weeks and we get more and more and more deranged. What was happening?
Why do you want them to know? I think it's
because we're
mystery.
Real.
Well, yeah, that's the realness of.
Okay, don't do that. Don't look at it. You went cross-eyed.
There's something in my microphone.
It's because you always burp and try to fart in it.
Looks like a booger.
It probably is because you rub your beard into it.
Oh, well, booger beard.
So we're going to talk about dogs versus demons.
Okay.
Because the Patreon episode this week that follows this one, the day after.
D&D?
Dogs and Demons.
Is this a D&D episode?
This is a D&D episode.
Finally.
I thought about doing that for a Patreon night.
A D&D campaign?
Is having an hour or 2 hour D&D campaign. They do make shorter ones.
We just need a good Dungeon Master.
Yeah, DM.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a good one. Too chaotic. You wouldn't be a good one either.
No, I'd be awful.
You can't stay focused and you'd forget the... You have to have a story and how to know how to let the characters get there.
And I will deviate.
It's just one big circle. Before we get rocking and rolling, we have some events coming up. We have some merch, all that fun stuff. Bigfoot and Banjos is coming up soon. I don't know when this episode comes out, but that's June 8th. And that's at Salt Fork. Look for our Facebook and Instagram page. Sean Hickenbottom's putting that on, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, our mustache friend.
The best mustache in Ohio.
Yes.
I'll say that.
John Hickenbottom.
You
heard it here.
You best mustache. Boat. Yeah, it's just a real thick mustache. It's a good mustache.
It's a nice mustache.
And then a Monster Fest, which is?
Monster Fest, I believe.
June 29th.
June 29th. That's it's right, gonna be what a lot I thought.
Of, yeah, we were waiting for Emily in the corner of the room to speak up, yeah. To tell us.
You probably heard her back there.
Yeah. And then the Hocking Heels Bigfoot Fest, we're speakers at this year. It's the first weekend of April. It starts Thursday through... August. I've done that all day today.
Yeah, it's August. Remember that.
August. I've done that for last month of recording.
Yeah,
August 2nd and 3rd.
Right, yep.
Come party with Cryptids of the Corn. We're speakers at the biggest one in the country.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy? I'm super honored. B Mills puts it on.
Yeah, thank
amazing
you.
Lady. Bigfooter, the only, as of last I checked, the only ever female Bigfooter of the year.
Wow.
And she earned it.
All right.
Her book's great. I highly suggest everybody goes out and gets it. Then Squonkapalooza is our other August one, the weekend right after.
We're speaking at that one too.
Two time speakers at Squonkapalooza. That one's a lot of fun.
We got two separate talks going on.
Yeah. Wow. They're both, you're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to make you do one of them.
Great.
But yeah, ready to get into dogs versus demons?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you already shared a lot of your dog stories today.
I got more.
Well, you can reshare them because it's for the main page. Mm. But yeah, like I said, Patreon this week is dogs versus Bigfoot. So dogs will save us from the paranormal, and cats will let us die.
You think so?
Yes. I think cats, depending on how much the cat thinks about you as food source, is the cat would fight off the demon if it only meant that they got better quality food.
I think there's some good cats out there.
I haven't met one.
I've seen the videos where they save little kids from dogs.
That's because they hate dogs.
Yeah.
It's not, the kid was just extra. Like, it was nothing to do with the fight.
If they hated dogs, they would have avoided it.
No, I do agree. I've seen some.
There's some good ones.
It's like five good cats on the planet.
I used to have them, but until my dogs came ate around. Them? Well, ate them, shook them, till they were a rag doll.
There has long been believed to be a whole other world beyond their natural perception, hidden beyond the veil, through which only the very psychic and those with certain sensitivities seem to be able to gaze.
So cats and dogs?
One category of those able to peer into the sort of spiritual realm are animals such as dogs.
Yes.
They are thought that the ages have domesticated an uncanny ability to perceive by which most cannot. Here we will look at some spooky cases of dogs predicting and participating through the barrier of the world of the living and the dead.
Ooh.
The physical and the spiritual.
Dogs, sight beyond sight.
Sight beyond sight. One very creepy report is from a Reddit user called Old Rocking Chair, who said that he had taken to letting his dog, which had been mostly an outdoor animal, sleep inside the house at night. At first, we kept his dog downstairs, but for some reason, that severely upset it. To that point, it had been tied down every night. Finally, after a week of this, they decided to let the dog sleep with him upstairs. And this is where things start to get weird.
Ooh, oh, no, not one of these stories.
What do you mean?
Never mind, go on.
Oh, no, I don't think. Main show, not Patreon.
Paranormal.
Oh, I thought you were going to say peanut butter. Okay, the poster says, he didn't like being alone at night downstairs. He's used to waking us all up and whining. We thought he just didn't like being tied down and wanted to be with us upstairs. Finally, I relented and brought him upstairs to sleep. No collar, no leash. He stopped whining. But there is the thing. Quite literally every night at 3 a.m., our dog gets up, does an inspection of all the rooms upstairs. Not before 3 a.m., not after 3 a.m., 3 a.m. on the dot every night. Our bedroom door is always open, so he is free to access all around. If he happens to be sleeping on someone else's bed, he gets restless, waking up the person to be let out.
Mm.
Due to all these small accidents when he was a puppy, our dog is afraid of jumping down from places, even small gaps from the bed into the floor. But at 3 a.m., like clockwork, he wakes up. When we do let him down, he goes from room to room, then sleeps in the doorway of my parents' bedroom. It happens every night. We can observe him like clockwork. We started bringing him upstairs early September. I don't know what happened in our house at 3 a.m., but several times when we do catch him in the act, he looks at the doorway of our room, whoever owns the room, and he happens to be wandering through. He stares at the person looking at them, and then back at the doorway again. Interestingly, the hour of 3 a.m. is often said to be the witching hour. So perhaps this is something very strange going on. Who knows? Many reports of dogs somehow sensing the paranormal revolve around the apparent ability to sense or see something we can't. So what do you think of that first little story? Nothing too scary.
No, but I mean, it confirms my beliefs that dogs do see, sight beyond sight. They see things we can't. They perceive danger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have extra senses. We're actually at the end. Don't worry. We're going to talk a lot about dogs' senses.
Okay.
But what do you think about the 3 a.m. witching hour thing?
Could that just be a weird coincidence?
Well, I'm not talking about the dog at this point. I'm just talking about in general.
In general, the witching hour? I mean, that's when they say the veil is thinnest, right?
Well, it's the darkest of the dark.
Yeah.
It's the coldest of the cold. Like, it's the night. It's the most night.
Right.
Same with, like, in the day. I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you've heard me say it. 3 p.m. is normally the hottest part of the day.
Yeah.
Because it's when the sun has the most time to directly heat up the area.
Right, yeah.
Even though noon is when it's highest.
And then when you step out of school, right, as the bell rings, it's like, a hot blacktop.
Like stepping into an oven.
Yeah, it's miserable.
But I don't know. He goes through, he checks everything, doing what a dog does.
Right, doing his checks, his nightly checks. He might just be in a routine.
Yeah. And it could be. It sounds like a small dog, but they were keeping it outside most of the time. Which is, you know, normally a small dog is kept inside and larger dogs are kept outside. Yeah. Like a Pyrenees or a Heeler, they do not want to be inside.
No, or even our Chows. Our Chows like to, but they wanted to be outside.
Like, I have friends that breed Pyrenees and stuff like that, and Pyrenees do not want to be inside. Like, they want to roam. They want to, you know, they want to be outside. They're fine with the cold.
Right.
Our friend did a video. Like, she's like, there's a doggy door. They can come in, like, when it's snowing and they're just, the dogs are laying out in the snow.
Yeah, that's how ours were.
And they're like, they can come in. Whenever they want.
Yeah.
They choose to lay out there in the snow. Yep. They're, you know, it's a 150-pound dog with 4-inch thick fur.
That's how ours are.
They're bred for this.
Yeah.
No, so I don't know. I just thought it was weird. I haven't done any deep dives into the Witching Hour thought.
No. My first introduction to the Witching Hour was the BFG book.
The Big Friendly Giant?
Mm-hmm.
All the giants come out?
They talked about, well, just the one would come visit the town. Yeah. And that's when stole the little girl or boy. I can't remember the book anymore.
In the movie, it's a girl. But
it might have been that in the book, too. I just don't remember. Little kid.
All right, ready for another report?
Yeah.
You sure? You sure you can handle it?
Nope, never mind.
Okay, end of episode.
Yeah.
I've been the great and powerful. I couldn't do it.
I'm not ready.
So from the Cyber Tiger, also fits into this category. He says that it happened when he was younger, that he and his parents at the time lived in a house in which mere ghostly apparitions such as anomalous noises and fleeting movement from the shadows already happened to spook them.
Okay.
It gets even spookier when the dog began to react to these presences. The witness says of this experience, and I'll read his account. But yeah, when a dog is just like watching something, like tracking something you can't see across the room, cats do it, but I think cats do it to screw with us.
They probably are watching like a bug or something.
Yeah, they could be seeing a gnat that you can't see. But I bet dogs can do that too. But see, dogs, I just think dogs aren't malicious. Cats are a little malicious. I've only watched cats torture other animals and then just leave them.
You're so anti-cat.
Yes.
Man. You gotta have, you find a
domestic house cat.
I like cats.
So he says, when I was a kid, my family and I lived in a house that was curiously active. Nothing too concerning. Just the occasional crack of the footsteps during the night and small knickknacks that would mysteriously tip over in the corner of your eye. Anyway, one night when I was sleeping in my bed that I shared with my two little sisters, when our chocolate lab, Remington, lumbered into our room, jumped in between us.
Good name.
Remington's a good name for a dog. I was half asleep and scratching his ear when suddenly he jerked up his head to the left and started barking at the empty wall about 3 feet away from him. After about 20 seconds of deep back bristling barking, he relaxes, turns back to me, and continues licking my face. I'm not sure if he saw something in the night, but I'm pretty sure the dog saved me from starring in The Exorcist, the reality show. My parents have long since moved away from that house, but I still have reoccurring nightmares of waking up in my old room.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff with that.
Don't worry, I have some personal stories with dogs in the paranormal we're going to share at the end.
Okay.
But labs, okay, I got to say this about labs.
What, there might not be, they might be the seventh dwarf, just a little dopey.
Just a little dopey.
Yeah.
Emily's, my mother and father-in-law, they have four labs. Three. One just passed away recently. So they're all goofy in their own way.
Yeah. Two champagnes and a silver.
Yeah, there we go. They're all goofy in their own way. What's the big one that acts like a bear? Sam literally sits on his butt and looks, you've seen him. He looks like a little black bear.
Okay.
But he is the,
I've seen them all. I don't know their names.
Not dumb. But goofy.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They tried to figure out how to potty train them with ringing the bell. And the dogs only figured out that if they ring a bell, they get a treat.
Uh-huh.
So now they just sit down there and ring the bell.
Ring the bell, yeah.
Now Atlas does it too.
Does he get a treat?
No.
Oh.
So What do you think? What do you think of that one?
I mean, that can just be. I've had that with my dogs. They either may have seen something. They may not have. They may have heard something. They may not have. They just think they did, and then they go nuts for about, like you said, 20, 30 seconds, and then they're back to normal. But I've had that before.
Yeah.
Dog freaked out, barking. It's like you think someone's about to walk in the door, then they realize, oh, I just heard like a bird outside.
See, I guess it highly depends on the dog, and you know your dog and how it reacts to stuff. Yeah. Like Grandpa's Yorkie he had forever would just bark at everything.
Yeah, it didn't matter what it was.
Because it was like a fence post. I just literally watched a video of a lady today with her pug that every time she walks past a fence post, it attacks it. And it like goes nuts, like it's trying to murder this fence post. Like it's hitting its head really hard into the fence post.
Yeah.
Like it hurt. You know it hurts.
Maybe the fence post has a possessed demon
in it. Well, it's all fence posts.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like every time she's like, I don't know how to get my dog to stop trying to destroy this fence post.
Is it like those little tortoises you ever seen where they ram?
Those are Russian tortoises.
And they ram shoes only like the one color shoe, though.
Like, yeah, just whatever looks like a male
tortoise.
Like
they put a black shoe up and it's fine, I think. But the white shoe, it's like, boom, boom. It'll go out of its way to go ram it.
So another report comes from the poster called Jum Jum Mango Aro.
Okay.
Who says his dog immediately began acting oddly shortly after he got it as a puppy. In this case, the dog always seemed to respond to one particular area of the property for no reason other than that he couldn't figure out. The witness explains, My brother and I got us a dog. He is still a puppy around 15 weeks old, a very lovely and cute Labrador. And we started to notice something weird or creepy. It only happened when he walked him in the dark outside around 10 p.m. to midnight. And sometimes wait when he needed to pee during the night, like 3 to 4 a.m. We take him out as well. So the thing is, he would always stare at one direction right outside of our house. And sometimes he would be so focused on staring at it, he wouldn't listen or react to anything around him. The reaction would then, we'd softly pull on his leash a bit. It's like if somebody was standing there and he is very, very curious and interested in them. Because that's normal and dogs do that when they get curious. He even did this motion once with his head tilt, where he goes from the right ear to the left, as if somebody started walking by, like he was following somebody with his eyes. Then But when I looked, there was nobody and nothing there in the darkness, was just empty. I thought maybe he heard something, but there wasn't any real sounds around, especially not at 4 a.m. He wouldn't bark or move or anything, maybe because he was still too young and scared. And then I heard the dog could possibly have a seventh sense. And they ask if anybody's heard about this. Maybe there's a ghost standing there.
Yeah.
So another lab.
What is that thing that dogs do when they tilt their head side to side like that?
I think it's mostly a curiosity pose.
Yeah.
Like dogs are very physical with their language.
Right,
you know, their tail wags, their face. They pull their faces and stuff to talk. So I think it's a physical representation of curiosity. Like we talk with our faces.
Right, yeah.
Dogs talk with their bodies and their smells and their sounds.
I just like when they do it.
Yeah. Now Atlas does it.
Oh, he does. He wobbles his head back and forth a lot, yeah.
And it's because of mom and dad's dog.
Hanging out with them a bit too much, huh?
Yeah.
They're ringing the bell, doing the
different,
head
different
nods.
Dogs.
Oh, okay. Other dog. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Mom and dad's dog.
Shoot, you're gonna...
a Griffin wire hair pointer, I think.
I think by next year, we'll have him kennel trained, Atlas.
So, anything to add to this report? Just this dog watching, like somebody's walking in the corner of the yard really late at night?
Yeah. And like you said, the curiosity thing, I mean... There was something there. It might not have been nothing paranormal, but...
It could have been a possum. But, you know, I think they were talking. It's very odd that it was happening very regularly.
Yeah, but, I mean, if they're going out around the same time, you got, like, a possum, like you said, or anything on a routine.
I could also see something like a fox or a coyote scent marking that corner of the yard.
Okay.
And the young puppy knowing that's danger. And it's
like something's up over there.
There's something, you know, because there's not an animal there right this second.
Right, yeah.
But scent marked. You know, it has a lot of language on it for the animals.
Just trust dogs.
Trust dogs. Speaking of which, there should be a code below in the description to get 10% off of the Trust Dogs t-shirt at Cryptids the Corn shop.
Nice. Cryptidsthecorn.com?
/shop.
Can't even say it. Cryptidsofthecorn.com.
/shop.
/shop.
Check it out.
Trust
10% off.
Shirt. What's the code?
It'll be below. I haven't made it yet.
Oh, okay.
Because this is a month and a half in advance.
Check the description below.
All right. So there's a similar report to this from user Octopoodle, who says his dog was normally very quiet and timid. But on this occasion, he had a very strange reaction to the darkness beyond the door of the bedroom, the witness states. I was laying in bed reading with my dog at night. My bedroom door is open. My room is the only room in the house with the lights on. It's completely silent. I took a quick glance at my dog. My dog was staring out of the door into pure darkness. I see him slowly tilt his head to the side, which he only does when he sees or hears something that seems bizarre to him. He then growls for a good minute or two. Then he notices me staring at him and starts wagging his tail.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had a dog do that where it would just like start wagging.
Under its breath almost.
Yeah.
Just that little low rumble.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my dog's always done that.
What do you think about that?
Typical dog reaction, I guess.
To what?
See, so far, there's nothing that's screaming paranormal. It's just typical dog behavior. Could be anything. It could be a bug in the wall. I just heard it.
Oh, there you go. Bugs in the wall. You heard it here. Jay doesn't believe in the paranormal. Only bugs in the wall.
I do. It's just none of these. Can't
back up now.
Nothing. These are screaming at me that, you know, it's only paranormal. You know, mm-hmm. I gotta dibble it a little bit and just bring things back to reality.
You're so close to getting punched in the head.
I'm going
to
start using that. I got a dibble dally.
I'm glad nobody can hear Emily, but she's in the room too. And she's making comments the whole time. Another person called Kupo Kupo claims that her dog has started the unsettling habit of waking up every night at the same time, growling at the doorway of our room she shares with her boyfriend. The dog was known to do this occasionally. And so although it was creepy, they had gotten very used to it. But one night, it would prove to be more frightening than most, the poster tells us. The night she woke up, it was 3:33 a.m. on the dot.
Ooh.
Growling very loudly, enough to start drooling and snarling.
Ooh.
So that's a little bit more extreme right there than the normal, just like, you know.
All right.
That's actually getting very upset. She was up on all fours with her head lowered, looking at the doorway. I nudged her and told her to knock it off, but she persisted. After about 5 minutes of this, the TV service cuts out. We sleep with it on for noise, she says. But it went out and cut to static. At this time, my dog lowered herself to the bed, laying flat, pulling her ears back and started to whine. Then she slowly moved her head from the doorway to the TV as if something was walking into our room once the TV cut off. The TV shut off as she fixated her gaze upon it.
Hmm.
So the
TV shut off by itself, huh?
Yeah. So it cut to static, and then once it cut to static, she lowered. The dog's following what seems to be a figure walking. Once the dog's face was staring at the TV, it shuts off. The person says, I noped the blank out of there, pulled my comforter over my head, refused to look around until it was daylight. My boyfriend and I swear our house is haunted. If it isn't, what is our dog possessed?
Yeah, the dog did it.
What do you think about
that
one?
They're asking, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty creepy.
That's a little bit more like
now
the dog's watching something and then the power cuts to it.
Now we're getting to more paranormal.
Yeah.
If you believe them.
Oh, gosh.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to assume most of these stories are. I guess we're going out on the assumption that these are real. I don't want to ever.
I don't want any encounter. We have no way of actually.
I don't want anyone accusing us of just believing everything willy nilly. Because we don't, but, you know, in this case, just to discuss these encounters or these stories, we're going to assume they're all real.
I mean, I think by the end of it, you'll know. Dogs do weird things.
Absolutely.
Like, until we got to that one, it could have been dogs just doing weird things and creeping us out.
Typical dog, it's more like you're creeping yourself out.
Yeah, thinking about that. And the dog's just being a dog. Like you said, could literally hear a bug in the wall.
Yeah, and just,
A silverfish?
A silverfish. Good reference.
Check out Freaky Fauna Fridays to learn more about silverfish. Me and you did silverfish.
Okay.
Together. You were there.
I was going to say.
Months ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
It just came out this Friday as recording this.
I remember
this Friday as recording this.
Nice.
An eerie encounter is a mix of the dog's senses with an age-old Ouija board.
Oh, no.
And it seems that the dog and the Ouija board don't mix. So before I continue on, don't ever buy a Ouija board. Don't ever mess with the Ouija board. I don't care what anybody thinks.
Yep, I think Crypts of the Corn can both... We can both...
Stamp of approval. Do not mess with the Ouija board.
Yep, don't buy one. Don't look at one. Don't acquire one. Don't use one. Don't burn one. Just don't touch them. Don't associate. Don't get one. Yep. Don't associate with them. Ain't worth it.
A podcast I listened to was talking about. He's like, they were out with like professional. They paid to go out on a tour with professional ghost hunters.
Yeah,
this comedy podcast. And he's like, I brought a Ouija board, and all these ghost hunters started yelling at me. Like, they were messing with the ghost, yelling at the ghost. They had all this electronic equipment, but the second I brought out a Ouija board, they freaked. Yelling at.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm like, good reason.
Yeah.
No, but so.
It does have a point, though.
Well, in my.
And they're all invoking these things.
Like, well, in my point, that it's a fully. It's a device fully made to invite spirits.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So it's a full. Whether. I think there's all these rules. Same with the Fae. With agreeing to things that you may not realize you're agreeing
right,
to.
Right, 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 right.
And I think the Ouija board is just an agreement.
Like, it is funny, though. Like, all those guys, like, we brought all this equipment.
Monitoring equipment, yeah.
Inviting these spirits to please communicate with us. Show us evidence. And then the moment you do, you can't do that.
So the witness in this case claims that it happened when she was a teenager. And a friend came over, and they started playing with the Ouija board. During the session, she managed to make contact with the spirit that called himself John, which was unsettling enough for them to end the game. Her friend then walked her home, and this is where things would get really bad.
Uh-oh. Yeah, because you invited a demon to attach itself to you.
No. Yes.
Right.
When we go to my place, we decide to play again. We did this outside. My dog Lucky joined us, laid at my feet while we played. Well, we summoned a spirit, asked for his name, and we spelled out John. Right when we were at the end, Lucky jolts up and starts barking into the darkness and through this long, empty corridor. He's going absolutely crazy, as if they was about to be attacked, trying to give us warning signs. Lucky never, ever barked. He was the most docile Shih Tzu we've ever met. This night, though, he was on attack mode, jumping and barking as if something was literally about to jump. My best friend and I immediately stopped and burned the board.
No, they didn't.
I'm not joking. We never played again.
They burned it?
I'm not joking.
Oh, my gosh.
I know I make jokes sometimes. No, no. They burned the board. Oh, you did no. Several, ladies, I'm sorry, several bad things.
Yeah. Pretty much made all the wrong steps.
Yes. I mean, if they would have covered it one of them in like the blood of a goat, maybe that would have been the way
been
to
worse, yeah.
Really take it up a notch.
My mom and dad have a Shih Tzu, though. And,
I know. No, that's the other one that bites.
Yeah, the Havanese that bites. But I'm just imagining him, just knowing his and his personality and that little dog. My sister also has a Shih Tzu now, too.
I tried to steal it.
And my sister's?
Yeah.
Muffin?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first day she got it, I want her to walk out with it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, he's fully grown now, and he's a big, giant dork, but he'll bark at everything. Like, he's a big, bad dude. And then the moment you even gesture towards him, he takes off running away so fast. But I imagine something like that, barking, trying to defend you, like.
But she's describing it like literally going nuts, like right, jump barking, like yes, it's trying to bite something.
I can picture it. I've seen him do it.
Yeah. So what do you think of that one?
It's funny. No, it's funny that Shih Tzus do. In general are funny, but
I've only ever had my grandma had them for years. Had all kinds of. She had at least 10 with me growing up. Shih Tzus? Not at one time, but she'd have two or three at a time,
right, max, and then
you know they'd pass away,
right.
Because they'd ride on her cart, you know, so she liked them because they could sit on her cart and ride uptown with
her. They're good riding dogs.
They're just nice little dogs. Yeah. If you like lap dogs, they're a good dog.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could punt them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're good little lap dogs. She only ever had one mean one. And it was because the only one she adopted as an adult, and it was abused. And it probably hated kids, and there was 15 kids in that house.
Yeah, so they were.
And he would bite us, but he had no teeth.
Yeah. Ours has just, like, snaggle teeth, like, just jutting out of his mouth. They look all awful, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, so what do you think about this one?
I mean...
The Ouija board Shih Tzu attack.
Yeah, but don't play with Ouija boards.
But do you think this is a real spirit, or do you think... If the story is, you know, we don't know it's real or whatever, but if, you know...
Assuming all the details are correct, you know, they're not adding anything, yeah, I would believe that would happen. You just used a Ouija board and invited somebody there, or something. I don't know if it's somebody. I don't think it's John. I don't think it's...
I'm with you there. We've said this before.
It's like, oh, the most typical human name on the planet... Is what it pulls out.
Mohammed or John.
Yeah.
Mohammed's a lot longer to spell.
That's true. John's a lot much quicker. Yeah.
No, I think that it's just hard. Like, I think a lot of spirits are, I don't believe in human spirits being stuck here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think your relatives could visit you and whatever, but I don't think that's a ghost. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Anything that's mimicking a person like this is not a person.
Yeah.
Whether it's a demon or what.
Even the Steve Irwin spirit box conversation on YouTube.
It's not real.
You don't think it's Steve?
I don't think it's Steve. It's probably the stingray that killed him.
Man, but he had such good messages.
I mean, it was just an old radio station.
I mean, I wish it was Steve.
So
he even had an Australian accent.
Don't mess with Ouija boards. There are countless other reports of dogs staring and barking at something that isn't there. We are left to wonder just why this might be. Are dogs altered to something that is? Are they able to see something that isn't there? Something beyond our ability to perceive? Are they able to see beyond the veil and notice strange entities and spiritual beings that are perhaps all around us that we're unusually able to see? It's often been said that dogs have a sort of sixth sense for these sort of things. Their heightened perception able to go on certain cues that we don't usually pick up on. Yeah. So we're going to talk about dogs and the sixth sense they have. But before that, I'm going to share some personal stories. So I had several dogs in my old haunted house with the Bigfoot house and all that.
Right.
Bailey was the one that died at 21 years of age. I had him longer than almost all of my siblings. Still. He was there right after Luke. We got him.
Okay.
And so my adopted siblings and my two youngest brother and sister, like, Bailey was there forever.
Right. Seen it all.
He always slept in my bed. And when he got older, I had to pick him up. So why I don't like cats? Well, there's two stories why I don't like cats. One was a barn cat when I had a baby chick, like a $500 baby chick in my hand, jumped up and killed it in my hand while I was holding it. That cat did not live on the farm anymore.
Oh, did it live anywhere?
I didn't say anything. I said it didn't live on our farm anymore.
The great farm in the sky.
Yeah. And then my sister had a Siamese.
Yeah.
And it was evil.
Yeah. It's those blue eyes.
It would open your door at night. It would sit at the foot of your bed and just stare at you. It was the creepiest thing.
It's protecting you.
No. Yeah. Because Bailey and it fought all the time, and Bailey would actually protect you. But this thing would, like, be the creepiest way you can imagine, a cat opening your door.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would get to the lever, and it would open slow like a person, I swear. Like, not like a cat flipping at the lever.
Yeah. It would just
but it would hang on to it until so it would slowly go down, and it'd swing open, and it would sit there and stare at you, and then you're tired, you kind of blink slow and open your eyes, and it's on the foot of your bed just staring at you.
Yeah, it's just checking you out. Yeah. Making sure you're still breathing. Yeah. Good boy.
It wanted you not to be.
Oh, come on.
And no, it just, that cat was just, it just creeped everybody out. Like, it never once alerted us to all the paranormal stuff in the house. That's why I don't trust cats.
Oh, okay.
But Bailey would all the time.
Because it was freaked out.
No, because it was one of them.
Or it was possessed.
It was just one of them. Bailey, though, one night, I just remember he did that all the time, where he'd perk up. He was a Beagle Shepherd mix.
Okay.
He'd perk up, and his ears would pop up, because he was the Beagle ears, he'd point down, but he could, like, make him go up like a shepherd. And he'd perk up, and he'd literally been over to him, and, like, watch, like, somebody's walking across, and he'd get all freaked out, and then, like, it'd take him, like, 10, 20 minutes to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
At night, several times, he'd bark at the garage and at the area where we end up finding the possessed knives and stuff
that.
In that room, none of the dogs would hang out in.
Yeah, I wonder why. Trust dogs.
And then that story with with my Bigfoot encounter, where the dogs were really, really freaked out. I don't know if the Bigfoot was at the house earlier in the night and they knew, or if they could just sense it being near.
Being around, yeah. Well, I mean, you heard the knocking, so they could obviously hear it.
But that was after I got to the house and laid down. You know, the knocking was really, really far off. So I don't know if it was already at the house that evening. And, you know, was looking in the windows and really freaked him out.
Then it left, and you came in back, and then it's like, oh, I'll come see what this is again now.
Or it was just making the rounds.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And Sonny was really freaked out, he was my brother's service dog.
Mm-hmm.
A big 150-ish pound Labradoodle.
Yeah.
A very smart, that dog was very protective. So when he was freaked out, that was telling you something.
Something's odd.
I don't know. And I think other animals, like I shared, well, you know, I haven't shared my shadow people stories. I think that's only on Patreon.
Yeah, it's Patreon only.
But with the snakes and the fish and the lizard, I think there's the paranormal, when it's really presenting itself, can affect other animals.
Oh, for sure.
I just don't think a lot of other animals care until it's, like, hyper-presented.
But it probably doesn't affect them or their lives in nature and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because whatever the paranormal thing might be, just a part of nature we don't understand.
Do you have any paranormal dog stories?
Paranormal.
Normally, it's the part where you unlock a memory.
I'm trying to. Something that jogs a memory from back in the day. I don't know. I mean, I've had a lot of dogs in my life, mostly chows. I've had a couple. We had a big St. Bernard, an Australian Shepherd for a short spell. And that dog was nutso. Loved the nice loving dog, but anything with tires on, it had to go chase it and it had to bite it. Anything, cars, bikes, till finally, like, neighbors that live a couple miles down the road were riding their bikes, and it chased them, and it followed them all the way home, and then they called us, and they're like, well, we love this dog. And we're like, you know what?
You just keep
it. Just keep her. Just keep old. We called her Angel. She was not an angel. Not an angel.
You know, is that, I think Bigfoot's coming in to tell us about his new amazing product.
And I'm here interviewing the great Bigfoot. And today, Bigfoot has prepared me a meal. Bigfoot, what did you make for us today? Ooh, fried porcupine on a stick, eh? Oh, grilled, sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, is that? Ooh, this tastes absolutely delicious, Bigfoot. How did you create such an amazing dish? Oh, it's all in the seasoning, you say. Oh, so what's your secret ingredient? Oh, this right here, flavors of the forest, Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust. Oh, this is raw, straight, freeze-dried garlic? No filler? Wow, this tastes amazing. Oh, you've got, wait, I'll try that too. What's that you got? Oh, okay, well, I guess I'd never had deer heart, but let's give it a go. Oh, it's a little spicier. What's in this? Spicy raw garlic dust? Wow, also from Flavors of the Forest. Well, where can I find this? Oh, in the links below. So if you're looking to season up your meal today, go to the links below. Reach out to Flavors of the Forest at flavorsforest.com and get you a bottle of raw garlic dust, or spicy raw garlic dust, also known as Bigfoot breath. Talk to you later.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more.
Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
And that's flavorsforce.com/corn.
Man, allergies are bad. All right, so...
I don't have a paranormal
dog story, but you thought of a cat one?
I do have a paranormal cat story. Now, it's not probably paranormal in the sense we were just talking, but we had this cat, long-haired. All of our cats were outdoor cats, you know, like barn cats, whatever, but we're pretty personable with them, you know. We had this one my sister really liked. She named him Mr. Sniffles. Mr. Sniffles was his name, a long-haired gray cat, and she was really upset because... I forget what we left that day. We went as a family on not on vacation, but, you know, we went to, like, an amusement park or something, like a theme park. And we stayed that night. So we were coming home the next day. But that day we were there, we got a call from our neighbor that lived in actually the house I live in now. And they had found Mr. Sniffles dead. You know, his jaw was just, like, ripped off. You know, he was beat up. Something got him, killed him. So he said he took the cat and he took it out back in the field and he dumped him. And he's like, just let us know when we come back. My sister's all upset. We're driving home the next day and we were talking about the cat. And right when we pull down the driveway, we're coming down the driveway, about halfway down, we seen on the picnic table on our front porch, there's this long-haired gray cat sitting there. And my cousin's like, Jill, is that Mr. Sniffles? She's just like, it's Mr. Sniffles. Like, she's on going nuts. We're all like, what? What's going on? So we walked over there. It was Mr. Sniffles. He was alive, but he looked like a zombie. He was like half his face was hanging off him. And his jaw's there, but it's just kind of hanging there. Mm-hmm. And he's just sitting there like wobbling back and forth on top of that bench, alive. Mm-hmm. And we're like, zombie cat! Zombie cat! He didn't last. He was definitely deceased later that day, but I think he just woke, he resurrected to just say goodbye.
Our neighbors buried a cat that came back.
Yeah.
Like Pet Cemetery style.
Yeah, it came back. That's kind of
what
this... It
got hit by a car.
Oof.
And so they just thought it was dead. They buried it and it dug its way out.
Oh, man. I wonder if that's what happened with this one.
I think something it was just similar. I think it was unconscious.
Yeah.
And then they must have buried it really shallow.
That's what our neighbor said. He's like, I picked it up. It was dead.
Let's talk about... The sixth sense of dogs. Do they have a sixth or seventh sense? Say sixth sense.
Sixth
sense. Four times fast.
Sixth sense, sixth sense, sixth sense, sixth sense.
You said slow the last time.
Six.
Humans have five recognized senses. We have touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing.
And my dad has neither of them.
Neither
of any of them. And he can't see.
I'll agree.
Oh, half vision. He can't hear.
I agree.
He cannot smell. 100% can't smell.
His nose has been burnt off, so right. I agree.
His sense of touch is pretty limited because his hands, he can't feel in his hands.
From the plastics factory. Yeah.
What's the last one? Taste. And that goes in with smell. He can hardly taste food.
So dogs have the same five senses, but they aren't all the same as ours. Humans can discern the broad color spectrum in more visually detailed than dogs can because we have more color-detecting cells called cones in our eyes. Dogs see better in the dark than humans because they have larger pupils that let in more light. They have more sensitive light cells called rods in the center of their eye. Dogs can also detect tiny movements that we miss, making them really good hunters, especially at night.
At night.
Dogs have a great sense of smell. Their nose functions about 10,000 times better than ours. And this is very averageable on species of dog or breed of dog.
Okay.
Where like bloodhounds, for example, I think it's 100,000 times.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they average out at 10,000. Because I think like even pugs have a better sense of smell than ours, but they don't have much. Humans have a better sense of taste than dogs, though.
Well, yeah.
Did you know that?
I would imagine so. If their smell's better, their taste has to be.
No, humans have a better sense of taste than dogs.
Oh, it was the other way around. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you look at what dogs eat in the wild.
But yeah, it's versus disgusting.
What, yeah.
They eat their own poo.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. You have to lose a lot of taste buds to get to that.
True.
So,
I'm not at that point yet.
We have about 9,000 taste buds compared to the average dog having about 1,700.
Okay.
So about close to five times more taste buds than a dog. Dogs can hear much higher frequencies than humans.
Yes.
And can hear much longer distances.
Yes.
So we're going to break it all down. So what is the sixth sense? Well, dogs have five excellent senses. Some people also think they have elusive sixth sense. So what is a sixth sense? Anyway, can we really be defined? So this is a hard question for biologists when we look into this.
Yeah. And not just dogs, humans too, you know, anything.
But if you don't have it, it's very hard to explain what it is.
Right.
Like seeing a new color.
Right.
It's impossible to describe color to a blind person.
It's blurple.
Well, pretend I'm blind. I've never seen before in my life. Explain to me what blue is.
You know, it's like when you mix red.
Yeah, see.
Or you take away a little bit of the...
People usually think of the sixth sense as an intuition or a gut feeling. This is the additional sense or increased sensitivity to information provided by our other five senses. There is no clear evidence or answer to this, but anecdotes involving the sixth sense are quite interesting. We have some examples for this. Increased sensitivity. Human mood. Many pet owners know their dogs are quite intuitive. Intuitive, thank you. When they are happy, our dogs may be extremely ecstatic. When we are sad, our dogs try to comfort us, even sit on the sofa in serious contemplation and just have a pooch nestle up beside you.
That's not a sixth sense. That's just consciousness.
But it's, you know, when we're talking that you're not expressing these emotions. And how I say, Bailey's about the only dog I ever had that did this with me.
Oh, okay.
That would really, like, whether I was feeling bad and I wasn't talking about it, you know, he'd come up, snuggle with you, or want to go play or whatever. But our furry friends seem to know what they need to how. Humans produce hormones such as oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine that rises and falls with our moods. Perhaps dogs sense hormone levels. Or perhaps they notice our facial expression, voices, body language, or smell. So that might be increased perception is a sixth sense.
I bet, like, our hormones put off a certain smell.
So, you know my dog sniff butts?
Say hi.
No.
That's what they told me on TV.
It is. It's an information exchange. They actually have scent glands back there that that release hormones.
Oh, yeah.
They give giant packets of information.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah.
And I just had one about an hour ago.
So... So that's
giant packets of information.
That's why
I'm gonna start calling it now. I'm sorry.
That's why they sniff butts is because literally they're getting details about the other animal.
They're looking for the info.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. The inside scoop.
So another one is human illness. There's been some proof that dogs have a keen sense of smell enables them to sense some human illnesses. Dogs can be trained to detect violent or volatile organic compound VOCs.
Mm-hmm.
Which we talked about before, in humans that indicate ongoing illness, helping detect lung cancer by smelling a person's breath or bladder cancer by smelling their urine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought there was dogs that
so literally at a university, it was last year that this dog was being trained for, I think it was lung cancer.
Cool.
And the lady was just walking him to class. Like it was one of those service animals, like a trainee
that
she took everywhere with her.
Yeah.
And it literally almost knocked this guy over. She was walking by and they couldn't figure out why this dog like wouldn't leave this guy and everything like that.
It smelled it.
He's like a 19-year-old that had lung cancer that he never knew. Like he was feeling short of breath and stuff like that, but he never knew. He thought he was sick.
Yeah.
He had lung cancer.
Dang, good boy. Dog, that is.
So by detecting, bladder cancer by smelling the urine, dogs can also predict low blood sugar by detecting VOCs emitted through the skin or predict seizures by recognizing changes in VOCs, pupil size, demeanor in a patient with epilepsy.
Yep, I've seen that before, too. That's pretty cool.
Like dogs with, like, epilepsy and what's the one where you fall asleep randomly?
Oh, narcolepsy.
Narcolepsy. Like, there's dogs that that are trained for narcolepsy that humans don't really can't explain when a narcoleptic state.
But they can see it coming.
But they can sense it, and they'll tell the person to sit down.
And they can do it with seizures, too. They can sense it when they're coming on.
And they're also, you know, trained to lay on the person so they don't violently swing around and stuff like that.
What good creatures.
When a dog's sense of smell is coupled with their ability to read their owner's mood, they are quite adept at predicting health problems and preventing injuries. Is this maybe the sixth sense of our dogs, or is this just a superhero dog? Weather, and there's another big one for the sixth sense they may have. According to the Associated Press poll, 2/3 of pet owners think their pets have a sixth sense about weather. In this case, their sixth sense is likely due to the heightened sense of smell. Dogs can hear, smell, and feel weather activity. Just like them predicting this edge on humans.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs a weather forecaster when you have a dog? And like, so Japan.
Or a beetle.
I was going to say the Beverly Hillbillies beetle.
Yeah.
Now, Japan uses catfish to protect earthquakes. They use all kinds of, there's all kinds of animals are used to predict weather events and natural disasters and stuff like that. Like, do you know they've sharks now in Florida predict hurricanes more accurately than the weather station?
I'm not shocked.
You know how they do it?
Uh-uh.
They have hundreds of tagged sharks off the coast of Florida.
And they all leave?
When they all go to the trench.
Yeah.
Hurricane. It's just like, something's coming.
Yeah.
When all these sharks that are living on the coast jet out about, 150 miles to go sit at the bottom of the ocean for a little bit.
Yeah.
There's maybe something happening.
Dangers. There's trouble afoot at our local Circle K.
Dogs also, they have an accurate sense of hearing, which allows them to hear distant thunder before we do.
I was hoping you were going to say humor.
Humor, yes, they have a really good sense of humor. So dogs could be hearing the thunder way, way long before we ever hear it. Dogs can also smell the change in atmosphere called ozone better than we do. So they may have a sense of the oncoming storm.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Dogs can detect changes in barometric pressure or electromagnetic fields that may be related to oncoming storms.
Which also may explain some of the paranormal stuff.
Yes, you got it. Dogs have been known to detect changes in seismic activity and feel small movements before earthquakes occur.
Okay.
So yeah, all that. And then, like you said, the electromagnetic spectrum, we talk a lot with paranormal like entities like ghosts and demons and stuff like that affecting the electromagnetic spectrum.
Right.
Maybe even feeding off of it. So if it's affecting it, like...
Dogs can be like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? And do that help?
So that may be why they're really curious, because they can't really see the entity,
but they sense
see
it.
A disturbance in the electromagnetic field.
Yeah.
Daily activities. Dogs learn the routines of people who they live with. They know when they're going to wake up. They know when they leave for work. They know when they return home. This has been documented with like cameras and dogs.
Uh-huh.
Like a lot of these little dogs will be super excited 5 minutes before the person gets home.
Oh, yeah.
Like they know they're like, it's 4:05. They get home every day at 4:05.
Yep. Or they screw off. They're on the couch. They do things they're not supposed to do. And then they know like 5 minutes before they're down. Yep. They're in their spot where they're supposed to be.
Ever have your dog meet you at the front door when you arrive at home? They know your work schedule, but it may be more. In one study, hidden cameras were placed in homes. Researchers had owners come home to do random things. Despite the changes in schedule, the dog somehow always knew when they should go to the door to greet their humans.
Hmm.
So there may be something more than just learning routine that we don't know about yet.
Hmm. You think so?
I'm just reading the study. So they changed up the routine every day.
Right, and
the
dog
every
still,
time still, the dog, a couple minutes before.
He probably just knew like the way the door sounds when...
So that's
when
my next little line. Did their accurate sense of smell or hearing help detect their owner's presence beforehand, or is it the sixth sense kicking in?
I would guess the extra sense and smell and hearing and all that.
So how can you sense your pet's sixth sense?
Ooh.
We may not be sensitive as our dogs, but even mere mortals can recognize when a dog's sixth sense is on the job. A dog can detect oncoming bad weather and may pace nervously, whine, hide, bark, and search out their owner.
Mm-hmm.
So Bailey hated thunderstorms.
Yep,
hated guns and hated thunderstorms.
So is my dog now, Grace.
And he would drool so bad when you were packing a bag. He knew what a suitcase was.
Yeah.
And he hated when you'd leave without him.
Yeah.
As he got older, he got more relaxed.
Yeah.
Because he was more comfortable being home alone.
But he knew when you were leaving the house. Yeah, the dogs, they always know. We'll mention Jake in this episode. Jake Driscoll? Jake Driscoll? No, Jake Dressel. Let's say it right. He
Love you, Jake.
Yeah. He was telling me how his dog, when we went to Encounter Quest recently, whole day before, his dog was just being like a turd to him, basically. He knew he was leaving, and he just didn't want to acknowledge him. He didn't want to be around him. He was over it.
So a dog, dogs that notice changes in their owner's mood can cuddle up next to them and beg to be petted. Dogs that detect illnesses may lick their owners, secretions and then stay close by their side. Your own dog can be a service dog that alerts you to things that you can't see or perceive. Your dog knows you, pay attention, and you may be surprised of how intuitive he or she is. Even though there is no scientific evidence to suggest fully that dogs have a sixth sense, we certainly have sense enough to appreciate the dog's ability to integrate their own five senses in amazing fashions.
Mm-hmm. Wonder if that had to do, our one dog we had for like 10 years, Chow. He's like the dad of all of our Chows. Whenever he got like nervous or he got into like, basically, or like you're brushing him out, he didn't want to be brushed, and you had to like, hey, let's settle him down, and then he'd chill out and like let you do whatever. Or, you know, picking a thorn out of anything. He would always lick and smack his lips, just, That was his reaction.
Probably a nervous tick.
That was his nervous tick. We take him to the vet. It was just, he knew something was coming. It was just lick his lips. But he knew not to bark and not to freak or growl or anything. He was just licking the lips until it's over. He would do it literally until you were done with whatever you're doing. Once you're done, he stopped. But the whole time, smacking, licking his lips. The whole time. It's pretty funny.
So, all this being said, is sometimes, in my opinion, our dogs do things that creep us out.
Sure.
But I also think dogs do have the ability to really sense something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with the tech, I don't know if they have a sixth sense. They may. So, like we said earlier, it's extremely hard to study something we don't have
right,
in another animal. That's why we talk about life out in space that may be silicon-based and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so hard to recognize because it would be, you know, use the word, it would be so alien
right.
to us that we may not even recognize it as a living thing.
Not even perceive it, yeah.
You know, a silicon-based life form may have a lifespan of, you know, hundreds of thousands of years
right.
and move so slow that, you know, it takes generations for...
A rock.
Yeah.
Like there's moving rocks out in the desert.
Yeah. And they're just working on it. Mm-hmm. No, so do you think dogs can detect the paranormal?
Yeah, I think they can, and to what degree, I don't know, but I think their heightened sense and smell and hearing and sight plays a big factor in a lot of the stuff they see or sense. Stuff that you might think is paranormal when it's really not at all, it's just their heightened senses that we can't, I guess we can measure to a certain degree, but you can't as an individual even come close to fathom what it's like, unless you already have superhuman smelling, seeing, hearing, all that.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I think they do have the ability, but like I said, I think a lot of it is attributed to their heightened senses as it is. I mean, that's what we train and bred them for,
mm-hmm.
as companions to help us. I mean,
dogs that detect cancer and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's pretty hyper-specialized. I think they can detect
demons and ghosts.
Right, yeah, exactly.
If a dog can smell cancer on
something
you.
That small, yeah. Or dogs, they can train dogs to smell bombs, you know?
And I think a lot of... Allergies, can sense if somebody's allergic to stuff and all kinds of like,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of it comes from like we already talked about. You know, they have scent glands to detect, to tell each other information,
right? Exactly,
immediately
yeah.
about health and stuff like that.
They're viewing the world in a sense that, that we just can't even.
Dogs can see TV too.
Wait, oh yes, is it in black and white though?
It's different, so they don't see in black and white either.
I always wondered that.
They can see
bluey. Oh.
They can see. It's hard to explain. They don't have as many colors as we do.
Not as many chromatophores.
That's skin changing.
Oh, darn it.
Color changing cells in your skin.
Oh, crap.
And I don't think we have any. Ours is all based off of melanin and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
No. What's so funny over there?
That I have no idea what I'm talking about. But just throwing words out. And
chromatophores are like in cuttlefish.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, you guys are the same person. No, so dogs are just the paranormal. So Patreon members, if you guys want to check out Patreon or the member space, the app, tomorrow's episode is Dogs versus Bigfoot.
Yeah, we have it's continuing a dog on. Theme. Yeah.
It's a dog week.
Just remember, the most important thing to take away from any of these episodes, trust dogs.
Trust dogs. 10% code below to get your Trust the Dogs t-shirt.
That's right. Check the description box.
All right, guys. I've been the great and powerful Mr. Ree.
And I've been J-Clone 47? 43.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye!
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy.
It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.